Oh my, more guests. Welcome. And so very sorry to see you again. Please, please help maintain decorum in the hall and remove your travel wear. We'll clean them and put them away for you until you're ready to leave again. Oh, very sorry about this. We've had a lot of visitors to the Halls of Recall of late, and we weren't expecting quite so many guests at once. I'll need to get a few more guidebooks from the storeroom. Please, please have a seat in the parlor and refresh yourselves while you wait. We're so very sorry. That's everything sorted. I apologize again for not being ready to properly welcome agents of House Dannon. Feel free to wander the grounds as you like. If you find some of the exhibits puzzling or intriguing, please ask any of the staff or consult your guidebook. We are, of course, all here to serve you.
Welcome to the Halls of Recall. If you are here, you have shown symptoms of Mists Imbalance. This collection exists as the first step of your treatment. It is our hope that these artifacts of the waking world, brought here by our agents, will help you in restoring your ties to the Autumn World and aid you in recovering from your Mists Amnesia. If you find yourself hungry or thirsty, please avail yourself of Exhibit 1, mini-fridge with bottled water and yogurt. If you are at a loss for what to do at Exhibit 1, please take a card from on top of the cube at Exhibit 1 and bring it to the Dozen who gave you this guidebook. We promise your mandatory time in the waking world will only last as long as it takes for you to remember or relearn what mini-fridge, bottled water, or yogurt is. After your mist imbalance has been treated, you will, of course, return to your duties to House Dannon within the Dreaming. As you drink your water, consider where it may have come from, why it was put in a disposable container, and whether or not it is precious on Earth. Why do mortals create an economy of scarcity? Exhibit 2. Here you will see a security video playing. You will see in the video. What does it mean to be seen? If one is seen and one is recognized, then does one possess a name? When one is given a name by another, does that name come into existence when it is given? Or did the name merely exist within the dreams of the one who bestowed it, emanating from that world into the next when it was spoken? Do you remember your name? Say it now. Do you remember the name of the first person you met who made you understand your story was not their story? Can you say it now? Did that realization make you uncomfortable? Was your fey self uncomfortable, or was your human self uncomfortable? What name did you call them? Was it the name they called themselves? Were they uncomfortable in the same way you were, or in a different way?
There wasn't exactly a doubt, but we chose you as leader. So what's next?
Next we build a community. Next we take care of each other.
The mess hall is already bustling. We know how to take care of each other, Richard. We need to be prepared when they try to take the island from us.
I know, but I've been ready for that from the beginning. Our declaration is written, and it might as well run on repeat through my mind. The feeling on this island, though, that's something else. I want every person who lands here to feel it down to the land they walk on and in their deepest dreams.
They will. It's impossible to miss that feeling. It fills up the air in this place. I still remember the first time I came here with Belva. When my feet touched the rock for the first time, my eyes opened to who I was in a way they never could while I was living in the city. Everyone coming here now will see the same thing I saw then. We're becoming more ourselves in this place.
If we're going to do that, we'll need to do more than just be here. I've been talking with the rest of the council. We need a school for the children and somewhere to share skills for everyone else. I'll be going down to meet with the reporters, but what matters the most is what we build on this rock.
You have Nanabuju's spirit.
I'm going to need a stone coat skin to pair with that spirit to get through what's coming. And we have so much work to do. We're going to build a nation here.
He is terribly stalwart for meat.
They all are. Walking on your back wakes them up to what they could be.
After so many years asleep, it is strange to feel such a rush of life from meat and not the heart of the earth.
I'm just glad you remember us. When I walk in other lands, so many of your cousins don't recognize me. It's like they're caught in someone else's dream.
They are. You know what's happening. Who is returning? They will try to capture everyone in their dream.
I know. I see them. I see their puppets, too. Hunt, wanting us to commemorate the U.S. Space Agency on our land. They think they can cement that dream, that story, in this place after we laid rightful claim to restore it. I don't care what contracts they say we had in the time before the world shattered. They can't have this dream. This is our story.
You look like me. You smell like me. You burn like a child of the bear.
I burn like the daughter of the rabbit who stole fire in the first place. And aren't I?
I suppose you are. As bright as you burn, daughter of the rabbit, and as firmly as you stand on my back, I see the war that's raging when I look into the heart of this land. Are you prepared to stand against it?
Let the Kith have their war. My brothers and sisters will make them think we've taken sides. Make them think we care if their shining host rules again. They can delude themselves into thinking they're the center of our story. And they'll be wrong. This is the center of our story. This is our story. I know the government won't budge, and so does Richard. They won't give us anything. But they're too blind to see what we're taking for ourselves. The resurgence we shape on this rock, while they bow to their own worst feudal nightmare. Let them war. Let them come. We will be here waiting for them. We hold the rock, and no matter what they may think, we will always hold the rock.
They will forget. Meat always forgets.
No, we don't, Al. We just remember differently. Our memories become stories, and our stories become, well, us. No matter how many times we were born, or how much our story changes, the truth of this moment will always be hidden, somewhere deep inside us.
Well, this old boulder will be waiting for you to finish that story, so he can tell you the parts that have been rewritten.
Exhibit 3, and answering machine. Press the green button. Do not press the button labeled Erase. Consider, why would the ability to send sound across vast distances be important? Why would one build a machine to preserve sound through time? Is distance important? Is time? Is conversation? Why?
Siobhan, is that you? I was wondering how long it would take for you to call. Emerjean, I'm so glad I caught you. You always avoid me in the spring. Now tell me you'll come to the lighting of the fires on Belton at night. That horrendous redcap finally fell to winter and won't be raising such a raucous protest this year.
Though I risk some part of myself for saying this, I do not mourn that miscreant's fall to winter. Fucking modernist sullies the good name of my whole court. Their lives are so tragically short. I'm sure I'll see his mien again before I return to Arcadia. What a tragedy that will be.
Oh, please venture honesty now, cousin. We may not have a protest to face, but Edgar is holding a remembrance ritual for... well, all of that. I'm sure we'll have to wait more than a few commoner lifetimes before they've forgotten that night. The whole business was atrocious, but must we sully the lighting of the fires with discussions of past transgressions every year? The winds already grow chill again. I just don't see the purpose of wallowing in the past.
It's no different from humoring Sir Audrey's ridiculous parliament. Give the commoners the illusion of power, grant them the kindness of a few knights by the balefire, and we don't have to face another war. I suppose they earned that after a few centuries of tending the fires for us. We had better things to do than bleed and die again in such numbers.
That is certainly true. Speaking of, I heard you won your seat. Congratulations. It is quite an honor.
I am no commoner, cousin. I am aware of the breadcrumbs we are thrown. I may see what Audrey shaped the commoner's discontent into as a stroke of brilliance, but those of us who held autumn and winter court do not allow our stories to be rewritten so easily. Gwydion's little arrangement cannot last.
Oh, for goodness sake, Emerjean, you're as bad as Edgar. You know I have no love for the current arrangement, nor does my liege. Are you not a child of the winter court? You've certainly told me often enough that the lesson of winter's rule is patience. Audrey clings to his dream and his parliament with all the desperation of Ritzelar. Autumn and winter belong to you and yours, cousin, as they always have. Let Gwydion enjoy his false summer and remember the patience we forged together in Arcadia's heart. The dream of shared rule is hardly dead. It's just a deeper dream than most.
That's why I love you, dear cousin. You can somehow manage the insufferable hope of your court and still make me smile. This just isn't what I dreamed of when we came back to our fires and brought the commoners to heel. There was so much more we could have been, so much more we could have returned to the world.
And so we will. The commoners had 500 years to shape this land to their whim. And look what we have done to correct their arrogance in a mere decade. We are at peace now, and you sit on the Parliament of Dreams. We both know if anyone can reveal the lie we are living, it is a child of Ailill, and the wheel still turns. We shall craft this dream together, and when the time for change comes, we will be ready, and we will sow that dream in the heart of all of Concordia, and make them remember our greatness.
It is good to know the loyalty of Ailunet is so unshakable. It chills me the other houses do not recognize your stalwart devotion.
It is the strength of our devotion they fear, and you will not distract me with flattery. You still haven't agreed to come to the lighting of the fires. Tell me you will be there.
Of course I will be there. I've been waiting for your invitation for years now. I'll even light a candle at Edgar's little memorial. I do hope you remember our arrangement.
Emerjean, I am hurt. You come and light a fire with me, and I will put one out with you. I was waiting for your election, which I had no doubt of. I fully expect Samhain this year to be quite memorable.
Oh, it always is. Until Belton event.
Until Beltana.
Exhibit 4. Here is a Walkman player and headphones. Do what comes naturally with these objects. You may find that your mortal body knows more than your fey mind thinks it does. But don't eat it. That's a hint. As you listen to the tape, ask yourself, why would one make a record of a conversation one was present for? What purpose does externalizing memory serve? Why must we seek out preserved evidence of the Fae in the Autumn World, such as this, and destroy it?
Sorry about this. You know how it is. Half of me knows what to do, and the other half just needs to get out of the way. It just takes a second. Okay. What the hell happened? Interview 4. Duke Sigurd of Etoile du Nord.
Just Sigurd.
Oh?
I haven't been Duke Sigurd for 20 years.
To the point, then. What the hell happened? I've been able to piece together some of what happened while I was in winter. The moon landing, the she returning, the cord. But what happened to the Fae? When did scraping before the lordlings become a thing we did?
In winter?
Between lives.
What do you remember?
I just said I was in winter.
No, what I mean is, what do you remember from before the shattering?
Less than I'd like.
Exactly. I arrived on Earth a wilder. My mortal host, don't give me that look. I know what I did better than you do. I was a young pre-med student, a Vietnam protester, and a Quaker. Two of those three things were, his parents were convinced, teenage rebellion that could only be endured because he was heading to med school, and that, at the least, was prestigious. After being met with his parents, joy when they discovered that their son had become much more focused on attaining mortal prestige and given up on those silly things. It seemed like the various parts of my new changeling life were all aligned perfectly, which was, of course, the plan in taking this body. Its Dan should have been uncomplicated once my habitation of it began. And yet, maybe it was some kind of psychic muscle from the years my body had been his, or maybe it was an echo of what the Commoner and Seely Court had come to be. But when the Resurgence War broke out, I started to feel out of place among the Xi, listening to his parents talk about the Vietnam War and thinking about the obvious parallels to the chimerical battles taking place all around us that they knew nothing about. So many of them so pointless and vindictive. And yet the Xi, just like my parents, reveled in the atrocity of it. Some of the commoners did too. I'm sure redcaps exist after all, but redcaps hadn't started the war, and redcaps certainly didn't profit by it the way we did.
Yeah, but why do changelings act like all of this futile bullshit is important? Even veterans of the Accordance War, I've been able to find still alive, act like the lordlings have done some great things for the commoners and that we ought to be grateful. As far as I can, things are so much worse today than they were when I was last alive.
What of the spring that came with us?
I don't buy for one second that you lot created it. Besides, what good is a spring that only brings the new bourgeois glamour?
War. Anna, what is it good for? I renounced my status before the Accordance War was over, you know. I'm a commoner now. Worse than a commoner in the eyes of most of the nobility. A traitor, a non-person, and a reminder of what the Autumn World does to the weak among the Shining Host.
So?
What I'm saying is that I know what it feels like to be remade. The first and second times I was remade, it was by my own hand. The third time was not. When High King David took his throne, this land was remade. All of us. The land itself was changed forever. commoner and noble alike, were cowed by the force of his dream for a united Concordia. Most didn't recognize it for what it was, or if we did, we were gracious enough to pretend we did not. But the moment he took the throne with Caliburn at his side, the dreaming itself was reshaped to suit the High King. We were remade to suit the High King. What happens now? You buy me another whiskey.
No, I mean, what happens to the dream now that High... Now that David is...
Here you see bits of paper organized between other, thicker bits of paper. If this reminds you of this guidebook, you may wish to pick up the folder and flip through it. Be careful as you do so, as unlike a guidebook, a folder is not bound, and the pages will fall out. As you read this activity log, we invite you to consider, why would mortals create machines capable of organizing and transmitting information? Why would our cousins in House Beaumain use those machines to imprison Chimera? We should assume the Svartalfar know nearly as much as we do about this dreaming net. What are their goals?
Is this the only way? It's also autumn.
What else could we do? Lady Agriana closed the borders. We can't even talk to commoners not sworn to her thanks to her decree. It's... lucky? Her grace didn't think to include, you know, them.
We have ears, you know. If you're having second thoughts, you can still back out.
No. Anything is better than here. Even if we have to pass through your dreaming net to get out.
In that case, let us continue. You're aware that this will translate you into Darkstar Online, the House Beaumain realm in the dreaming net?
Please take this opportunity to review the end user license agreement. When you are satisfied, please touch accept.
Darkstar Online downloading. This service is provided on an as-is basis. User assumes liability for any damage caused by malfunction or incomplete features, blah 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 blah. How is this any different from using a trod?
You'll be assigned a PID and an icon, which will allow you to interact with digital reality. Other than that, the green path will lead you to Wordwood, and from there my business partners will help you exit into the Autumn World. Everything would be fine unless you encounter hostile Chimera, she, or players in DSO.
Players?
Dreamers that Beaumain draw into the dreaming net to help them with their safaris.
We can handle mortals. Please render payment now.
A screenplay for a rom-com. This isn't what we agreed on.
Agriana's man got to us before you came. This is all the drugs we could hide from them.
Hacking this DSO terminal used more glamour than this dross represents. Acquiring it was no small task either. There's no benefit to me for ferrying you through the dreaming net if you're not paying the agreed-upon toll. Press dross? Excellent.
Criminal.
Precisely. And now you are as well. Welcome to the terrible world of freedom. Payment accepted.
Thank you for your business and welcome to Darkstar Online.
Now what?
Well, what is this pin stuck to me? Oh, you've got one too.
It appears these are part of our voile here.
Well, hope they're not permanent. It itches like a wall.
Shh! What is that?
Green path, now.
Under the Ushu's bare feet and the Satyr's hooves, the green path from their questionable present unfolded toward an unknown destiny. Jens and Zegril hurried, propelled by the bitterness and fear of the home they'd abandoned, toward the dream of a welcoming future beyond Coldfoot.
Exhibit 6. Another file folder. These are records of visits to a doctor. As you examine these, you may find yourself wondering why a she would abdicate his responsibility before the dreaming. Do not think on this too deeply. These thoughts are lined with the poisonous chill of banality. Why would you expose yourself to such a thing, restoring your connection to the waking world without giving you an appropriate understanding of the dangers of returning to it would invite your undoing? Always remember that House Dannon has the best interests of the dreaming at heart. As part of the dreaming, we have your best interests at heart. Always. Consider, what is a doctor who does not lead? Can weakness be inflicted on another?
Lord Sigurd, please, she needs you to release her from her oath. As a doctor, don't you have to help people? Look at her.
Would that I could, traveler. Her and your oaths weren't sworn to me. I can't release you.
Can't you? I don't know, something. Sovereign is like an oath.
You came to me because you heard the rumors about me. They are true. I am no lord. I cannot speak a word of sovereign. I want to help you, but I cannot.
Yes, but look at her.
I have no reason to doubt that your word is true, storyteller. She and you are oath taken. Your fealty oaths were onerous. I've heard many, many stories of the same. Your satyr friend broke some clause of her oath.
As the sun guards the day, as the moon and stars keep watching by night, as the earth upholds the natural order, so do I guard, watch, and support my rightful lady. Let weakness of eye and ear and limb claim me if I fail to remain true to the chosen protector of the dream. And let the dreaming itself forswear me if I renege in
my hand to your service. My word only to those of your station, and those also sworn to serve them. My
Jens,
heart to your cause.
Jens, fight it. Stay with us. Jens, I found someone who can help you. Just fight it.
Let her be, child. Agriana's ill will has overcome her again. You're lucky that your Lady Agriana did not consider that some of her station aren't sympathetic to her cause. I do not say this to be cruel, but do you imagine that your friend is the only forsworn I've heard of, or who's been brought here by a desperate friend, regardless of how I feel about the abuse of the common of all of us under Concordian rule? I do not have the power to absolve her of her crime. It might be kinder to call the godparents of death and hasten her rebirth. Death, after all, forgives things the Fae do not. It must. Otherwise the autumn world would be awash in forsworn Dontaine.
Dontaine are a myth.
What are myths to us?
Listen, I met such a one on the long road down from Arcadia. Our party fell into an ancient malebolge that had overgrown and hidden the silver path. forsworn half-she, trapped there since the shattering, at least rotting in her own madness. You think those of us who returned to Earth wielded power? We thought so also. What could a pitiful Kinane, lost and mad in the dreaming, do to stand before us? Had she only the power of the dreaming on her side, we might have stood a chance. She wielded her disbelief almost as an art all its own, with her she-born power of the dreaming in her right hand and her mortal-born power of banality in her left hand. She caught us in her Malebolge. The nightmare of the Malebolge and her art of nothing tore our party apart, and on the other side she used her dreaming arts on those of us she caught to fill in the missing parts. Wrong. Of the 9 in our party, only 3 of us escaped. Myself, Balegroff, and I do not recall another, but not one I've met in waking. I should remember her. She... I loved her. I loved her more than anything. I loved Arcadia for her sake. I can't remember her face or her words. Was she warm? I'm sorry. I'm afraid I can't help you.
I'm afraid you have, Doctor.
Exhibit 7. Here is an MP3 player and earbuds. This recording was taken from a bug in Terra Nor. We do not know who placed this bug or for what purpose. While you listen to the recording, keep in mind that we are well beyond the mists in the halls of Recall. The import of what you learn here will be obscured again when you pass through the Valley of Mists to return to your duties nearer the waking world. After you've finished listening to this recording, please write a short essay about why it matters what happens at Terra Nor. Speculate on who may have planted the bug and why.
The sun's restless this evening.
My liege, we have business to attend to. The Parliament is waiting on your response to their latest proposals, and said we would review them together before our return to Willa's Harp.
They don't tell you the greatest burden of naming when you learn the old magic. I don't know how you could explain it to a childling anyway, but they don't even try.
The Thalane have taken several freeholds in the Kingdom of Grass. We cannot let this stand.
You have to unmake the true nature of a thing to name it. You have to erase its name to shape a new one. I used to think that was absolute, but the dreaming remembers. The old name doesn't disappear. I thought it disappeared.
Audrey!
May I order you? Right, the Thalane. We can't let them keep the freeholds. We can't let them change the land. What does the Parliament propose?
Uncle, what are you so worked up about? It's late.
The Thalane are taking freeholds. They're taking the land from us, making it something else.
My love, you are exhausted. I will go over the proposals with Maelg and share them with you in the morning. Then, my dear uncle can return home, knowing everything is well in hand.
You are too gracious, Your Majesty.
I named this land. I named it Concordia.
I know you did, my love. It's a good name for a noble land. Go to bed. I will be with you as soon as Maelg has shared the Parliament's proposals with me. We will talk in the morning.
We can't keep his bedlam a secret for much longer.
I hate it when you talk as though we are willing conspirators, Uncle. Don't forget why my husband is in Bedlam.
or convince yourself I don't remind myself of it every day. He was a banality-ravaged shell when Seif dragged him from that iron cage, and so he has cleaved to the balefire more desperately than any of his brethren. The isolation of his dreamerless existence has driven him to this, and it is only the horror of what would befall Concordia if his rule were challenged again, and our oaths that Elias, uncle, I find you loathsome and always will.
Everything I did was for you and our house.
Everything you did was for your own vain obsession with returning to the old traditions. After months of living on the wrong end of your sick blackmail, you're still trying to convince me you have my best interests at heart. My husband's fugue pales compared to that delusional endeavor.
The dream of Concordia almost shattered during the High King's absence. I am aware of my error in believing I could hold that dream together with my own will, let alone reshape it. We both know you're the only thing keeping His Majesty grounded in this world, and if he is lost again, that little order there is among the Cathayne will go with him.
Yes, as you are so fond of reminding me.
As your soothsayers have shown you.
Indeed. You really should be getting home, Uncle. You've been away too long. So, do tell me how you've convinced the Parliament to act against your rivals within the Shadow Court this time. We both know how this will play out, and I'd rather be done with it.
Such blatant truth doesn't suit our learned lips.
No. But it's a gift I give to you, Uncle. It shatters the stories we tell about ourselves just a little, and makes you squirm when anything less than the truth graces your lips. Gwydion may not see your lies, but I do, and I prefer it that way. Now let's get started.
Exhibit 8. This is a computer. Do you remember this? They're everywhere these days, even inside some of our cousins. This computer contains an echo of the Shadow Court. We are also everywhere these days. As many eyes as we have in the waking world, even we do not know what it is the Shadow Court is doing. They seem to be pursuing many contradictory goals at the same time. To what end does the Shadow Court act? Why do they seem to act in conflicting and confused ways? Does another group act at cross-purpose? Can individuals act against their own interest? What does it mean to have a purpose and self-interest?
It's about time you got back in here. I have things to do. That worm Kevin has almost squirmed his way back into the board's favor.
Well, I suppose the competition is ever-growing nowadays.
So is opportunity. Can't sit on our laurels or we'll miss out. The war is coming. I can smell it.
Oh, James. Ever the opportunist.
Speaking of which, time is dross, and I could be earning it right now. Did you get the encryption details to Penelope? I don't have all day.
Sorry I'm late. Had to make a drop-off. Thanks for the tip on that one. You'll have your commission by morning.
You just finished that harvest? You can't keep taking this long, or Jaden's going to catch up to you.
Jaden's a pain, but he's out of his depth. The Black Court has just as many agents in his freehold as any other revolutionary upstart.
Holy shit, you didn't hear. Look, I like working with you, you ghastly horror. You deliver, but I can't afford to keep trucking with someone this sloppy.
hear about what?
Jaden weeded out every Black Court member in his domain. There was a fucking reckoning last week. All of his new friends are outside the Shadow Court's purview, but he's weaving them into our story, one re-saning at a time.
The little scum sucker. I just had a Drake asking for a cleric and lover. Maybe I should call them up and say I found a source.
I don't think that's a very good idea. He's figured out enough of what we do to warn his collaborators. His disappearance would be sloppy. You wouldn't want a reputation for being imprecise, would you?
You should consider your words more carefully, Tuathan.
Hey, are you two done? There's still plenty of profit to be pulled out of this situation. So Jaden is purging his little corner of the Shadow Court. Who the fuck cares? Know what scares the puppets sitting on their porcelain thrones more than a violent mob? An uncorruptible revolution. Do you have any idea how much fear I dragged out of hedge fund managers when Occupy was freezing their asses off with winter crashing down on them? Enough to buy the Gideons out of half the freeholds in the city. It helped that I convinced them they were all going to fall anyway, but you get the point.
Your point is well taken. But Jaden won't inspire that fear if we undermine or eliminate him now. If he's so determined to help the world's downtrodden, then why try to stop him? Better to just catch him in a story where such success ends poorly.
Then what would you have me do? If I'm not musing outrage in the masses anymore, then what services are you going to pay me for?
Well, maybe it's time to turn your attention elsewhere. Your blades are always needed, Penelope, my dear.
So, infiltrating the revolutionaries has fallen flat. Their intentions were always wrapped up in too much commoner sealed honor for our purposes anyway. We just need to make sure that their oppressors maintain the appropriate fear of them. Jaden can play the part of the story he thinks he's in. We can make sure the narration he doesn't hear between scenes tells a different story.
Fine, Tuathan. That I can do.
Were your brethren such a pain in the ass when they first came back? I love all this glamour, but I almost missed the days before the Evanescence. I would take a mob of boggarts over this any day of the week.
They were. They still are, if I'm going to be honest. But I don't miss that burst of remembrance they held onto during the war. It made moving through the ranks complicated. It's so much easier now. Half of them can't believe any Belorians stayed behind during the winter. That presumption never loses its value.
I like you, McCrae. You always leave me feeling like this venture's gonna work out after all. Penelope's aimed at the right thing. And my last outstanding invoice is about to be paid. I could get used to this kind of a spring.
Well, until next time, then. It's always a pleasure.
Exhibit 9. Case Notes. A bound report about a Kinane's discovery and awakening by a Boggan. This was brought to us by one of our Chimerical allies in the waking world. Agent Fenris has a long history of working closely with House Dannon to protect the Dreaming, and has our closest confidence, unlike many of the commoners. What would motivate the commoners to betray us? Why would one of the small folk, such as Agent Fenris, remain loyal when so many of our closer servants fail? Is honor a function of dependence? Why do commoners feel they do not need us? Why would this commoner feel more for mortals than his lords? How shall we again kindle proper love for us in the hearts of our lost servants?
Report produced by Bill Bagley, MD. Subject: Daniel Collins, DC, Cloverfield Warren. Guardian names: Jerry Cloverfield Warren, Sam Cloverfield Warren, age 14. Apparent mood: withdrawn, defeated. Chief complaint: guardians worry that child has become withdrawn after intervention aimed at curbing undesirable behaviors, lying about daily life, delusional thought content, violence against peers. Presenting illness: guardians report brief connection with Bellerophon therapist Dr. Song. Unable to produce paperwork or notes, but did have a bill verifying that treatment occurred. Mentioned PPFD diagnosis. History and first impressions: Daniel demonstrates orientation to time and place, but is noticeably withdrawn. Responds when spoken to, but does not volunteer information. Could recall only two of the last seven presidents. Interviewees note mild defiance and drug use, typical of PPFD sufferers. Fenris acquired the sparse paperwork kept at Dr. Helena Song's office. From his report and the paperwork, Dr. Song's operation is a typical Bellerophon warehouse. Children are supervised by older children, or worse, young adults, sponsors, forced to motivate for hours, punished for the smallest of infractions, stripped of personal possessions, in an attempt to break down identity and disrupt natural support networks available through telecom, etc. Notes on DC are limited due to Dr. Song's disinterest in her many, many clients. Mostly reports from sponsors on punishments. Clear diagnosis of pervasive paracosm fixation disorder. Official records show Dr. Helena Song's license was revoked shortly after opening Bellerophon's operation, Teen Challenge Minnesota, in Hinckley. Chimerical stimulus test results. As usual, had written, "Do not sign anything, ask for restroom," in chimerical ink on the treatment consent forms. Parents had no reaction. DC refused to sign forms. Mr.'s Cloverfield Warren immediately overreacted, trying to establish order, propriety. I pointed out that having a minor child give consent is only a formality, and that their consent for treatment was legally adequate. When prompted, DC did ask for the restroom. Fenris followed him. Reported that once in the restroom, they did interact in the limited way Fenris is capable of outside of the dreaming. DC is not educated on chimerical reality and mildly resistant to interaction with Audar. He did take the sachet from him. DC is oriented to time, place, and chimerical quality. Mild shine, but no apparent deformed features. Whether this is due to banality or human nature remains unknown. Investigate the cause of drug use without parents' presence. Individual plan. Individual treatment for PPFD twice monthly. If Daniel is responsive, replace one visit with small group therapy. Reevaluate treatment in 6 months with guardians. Cloverfield Warren indicate increase in undesirable behaviors, including defiance toward authority figures and violence toward peers. Primal screaming training, releasing toxic emotions. Expect some lessening of symptoms for the next few days. Today was the first day of individual therapy. We sat for a long time without discussing anything. Client became anxious and began to examine his surroundings. Eyes lingered on the shelf of mementos. What do you see?
Nothing.
One of my other clients made this. She's not very different from you. At least, I don't think so. Look at this. What does it tell you about the person who made it?
Nothing.
Do you think it's a self-portrait? Or maybe a sculpture of someone else? A family member? A stranger? Why did she decide to make this, do you think? Why did she give it to me? Do you see its shine?
Its shine?
Some things have a particular quality. It's hard to describe to people who don't sense it. They seem more than. The things in normal life, they're real, but sometimes things have more to them than what's real. Or maybe they're more real than other things. A quintessential stuffness. Do you understand?
Not really, no.
Maybe sight isn't your thing. It's different for everyone. Feel it. Hold it in your hands and try to think what making it felt like. Anything?
Yeah. I...
It's okay. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you'd be that sensitive. It's my fault.
Is everything okay in there?
Yes, everything's fine. We're just working on healthy anxiety management techniques. Sometimes primal screaming can be very effective at getting it all out of the system, as it were.
I heard something break.
Oh, there's a glass blower in the basement of this building. They're dropping things all the time. If that's all, Mr. Cloverfield Warren.
I need to go for a walk.
If you need to take the edge off, it's really better if you do it here. Your dad will see you leaving and ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, but...
That's why you use, right? To make the more than just a little bit less. To manage, right?
Yeah, something like that.
It'll work in the short term, but there are other ways. I can show you how to turn it down by yourself, and you can just smoke weed to piss off your parents like normal kids do.
So that's it. I'm really not normal. There's something wrong with me.
Oh, you're not normal, but don't let anybody tell you that there's something wrong with you, kid. None of my clients are normal. But they all have problems with family. Somebody figures out that they're seeing things that aren't there, and suddenly there's devil this, and schizophrenia that, and PPFD the other thing. Everything a little bit less again?
Yeah, it's all fuzzy again.
Cool. Don't break this one this time, okay? Just look at it. Don't look at it.
Looks like a weirdo.
Yeah, he kinda is. But does he look mad? Or sad? Or dead on the inside?
No, he looks like a furry freak.
Well, he is. That's what makes him feel normal. He does computer programming in his normal life, but he also dresses up like a neon green otter on the weekend sometimes. Gets the not normal out of his system so he can pretend to be normal for the rest of his life.
That's gross.
How's that keeping everything bottled up until you explode going for you? Life good? Feel like you're gonna live past graduation?
I'm not like him.
That's true. He has friends, a girlfriend, sees his family sometimes, works a job, and likes his life most of the time. He keeps his sight in line, uses it to avoid the monsters, but doesn't let it control him.
Wait, what?
Kid, if you don't off yourself, fact is, you'd make a tasty morsel to someone stronger than you. You've got a shine on you that's real appealing to a certain kind of monster. You still got that sat shit Fenris gave you?
The what?
Little bag. Has two stones in it.
That happened?
Well, time's up for this session, Daniel Collins. You go find that sachet, and you'll have proof that it happened. Mr. Cloverfield Warren indicate decrease in symptomatic behavior for the first few days after the last session, then return to undesirable behaviors by the next week. Interrogated whether primal screaming was practiced or allowed. It was not. First attempt at nature therapy. Mr. Cloverfield Warren skeptical. Reminded them that I am a doctor. Client was skeptical as well. Expressed displeasure over being outside of the city. Expressed significant negative thought content about his self-conception and displayed lack of productive self-determination, typical of children of controlling parents. Was unable to respond to the opportunity to take a hand in directing his own care plan. Significant resistance from DC's parents in response to going into the woods without them. DC didn't see the point. I drove DC up the North Shore. He was quiet. Remarked that the houses up here were all run down. When we got to Sarah's cabin, I parked and told him we were where we needed to be.
This place is weird.
In what way?
I don't know.
I think you do. Or at least your hands do.
It's... This place is like the stuff in your office?
The mementos? A little bit. I see more than you do. It all glows a bit, but none of the light comes from anywhere, or it comes from everywhere. Those trees along the road up there, I knew the woman who planted them. She was really careful about it, and I think the trees remember her. Everything here remembers something about her.
They're different from most of the trees around here.
This area was logged pretty heavily back in the 40s and 50s. Most of the growth is birch and other trees that come back first after a fire. Most of these trees are firs, but not all of them. A couple of crab apples. I think that one is a cedar. I don't really know a ton about them anymore. Early growth tends to live about as long as a person. Some of the trees Sarah planted could live up to 600 years, but they grow slowly.
They're already so big.
Sarah planted them a lifetime ago. She's been gone for, gosh, more than 50 years.
You don't look that old.
It'd be better if you didn't, yet. I won't stop you, but there's nothing out here should hurt you.
Should?
In life, sometimes you're as sure as you can be about something and you're still wrong.
You should tell my dad that.
Didn't work with mine. Let's go down to the lake.
These two trees look kind of like a gate.
Sarah and her friend Agatha planted them. Sarah planted the oak. Agatha, the cedar.
What happened? There was a... I don't know, like, static? What?
This is how I look. What I am. Capital letters. Do you want to go back? We can, if you want.
What are you?
I'll answer that for you. If you take a look at your reflection in the water, I think you should see yourself as well as me. Then we can go back. Should we go back?
No, I... This feels... Right? I'm scared. Excited. This is the first time anything has felt this way. Felt so much. Maybe too much, but maybe not.
Okay. So, you're not normal. We went through that one already, right? Someone in your family, probably a long time ago, was from here. Well, not here, but from this place generally.
Where are we? These trees are different?
Where isn't the most informative question. What is this place is better? As near as anybody can tell, sometimes places remember things and dream about things. This place is what some of my friends call a Manido Aki, and some other friends call this the Dreaming. Sarah, the woman who used to own the cabin up at the top of the cliff, she always thought of this place as Manido Aki. I guess I do too. This is the dream of the Great Sea. Anyway, your first question. I'm a brownie. Or I was, a long time ago. Now I'm something else. More human than I used to be.
Is that what I am?
I don't know. I don't think so. There are lots of different kinds of spirit people, and you... well, you don't look like I do. If I had to guess, I'd put your ancestor as some spirit from the sky. But that's just a guess. All of my clients are like you. People touched by places like this. Some people, like those Bellerophon people, they want to make you normal, to destroy your connection to this place. Other people, more like me, want to steal your connection to this place. There's a power in that sort of thing.
And what are you gonna do?
I want to help keep you alive. I'd be happiest if that involved keeping you, the you you saw in the water, alive too. But maybe you don't want that. Maybe you just want to be normal.
I want to feel like I'm not crazy. I want to be able to talk to people and touch things, go to class without feeling like it's too much. And now you're telling me there are monsters out there that want to tear this feeling out of me? Why don't you do it? You said you were like them.
I can. I know how to do it. I know how to make people forget that they love their family, or to tear out their anger, or stop them feeling anything ever again. Is that what you want?
I don't know. Isn't that your job, to know what I want?
No, not really. Your dads want me to fix you, make you normal. They're not bad people, you know. Lots of parents realize their kids are different and kinda panic. They realize that the dreams they had for their kids aren't coming true, and they just kinda shut down on all of it. Hell, your dad's probably had the same thing with their parents from the other side. I didn't start seeing things until I was way older than you. I don't know why it's like that for some people. I was already on track to be a psychiatrist. Super interested in this new diagnosis and the work done by Dr. Stark. I was being recruited for Bellerophon for after graduation. And then my whole world broke. I started seeing and hearing, feeling, for the first time in my life. I started treatment with Bellerophon. It nearly killed me. When I stopped, my parents told me they never wanted to see me again. I haven't seen them since I got out of the hospital. Or my sister. Or my brother. Thanks. So, I think that's my job. To make sure nobody else tries to kill themselves. If you want to shut it all down, be the person your dads think you should be, I can help you do that. If you want to learn how to live like this, knowing it means you'll always feel out of place, I can help you with that. I just want to help you stay alive.
This episode of Walking Away from Arcadia was written, edited, and produced by Victor Kinzer and Simon Eichhornchen. Our sources for the canon events referenced in this episode were Changeling the Dreaming 20th Anniversary Edition, Kingdom of Willows, War in Concordia, and Fool's Luck, Way of the Commoner. Exhibits 2, 3, 7, and 8 were written by Victor Kinzer. Exhibits 1, 4, 5, 6, and 9 were written by Simon Eichhornchen. Cultural expertise and editorial review provided by Laura Martinez. Victor played the narrator, the Gloam of Alcatraz, Amerjin ap Eilil, Sigurd formerly Icene, High King David, Bartholomew McRae, and DC. Simon played the Dozen, Brownie Bill Bagley, and James Mitchell. Our gracious and much appreciated voice actors in order of appearance: Angelian Batterman as Shirley Algan, Solomon Hersey as Richard Oakes, Cosmo Cahill as Siobhan ap Eilunid and High Queen Ferelith, Salih as Yibril, Erica as Jens, and Natali Jirani as the Svart Alfar and King Milgi. The Darkstar Online computer voice and Mr. Cloverfield Warren were played by robots. The music featured in this episode was LSD by Mon Plaisir, 60s Acoustic Solo by Valentino Schnitzky, Jugular Street by Roll Music, Sexy Sadism by Usher Zreen Toys, Cerebral Cortex Vertigo Mix by Parvis Decree, I Need a Heroic Figure Main Character Theme by Komiku, Dust Monsters by My Own Cubic Stone, Chasing Shadows by Overhill Lane, and Melancholy Aftersounds by Kai Engel. We'll be doing a few more history episodes like this, so if you have points of the Changeling the Dreaming canon you think are super interesting or confusing, and you think we should touch on them, hit us up on our Facebook, blog, or Podbean pages, or email us. If you like what we're doing, please think about leaving a review on whatever service you get your podcasts through. This helps us get more eyes and ears and helps keep the dreaming alive. Today's poorly explained banality trigger. When your humans are changing everything around you and you don't know what's going on, so you do the simple dog distress signal, but instead of stopping making you sad, they just trick you into your crate with peanut butter.